I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And of those 0-2 teams, nobody has taken a worse beating than the Miami Dolphins so far. It looks to be a long season for those Fish fans down there in South Florida. Our next guest gets to cover him for 14 more games. He's already logged to whatever they're paying him. They probably need to pay him more at the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Omar Kelly, beat writer and columnist, joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. Looking forward to these next 14 weeks there, Omar?
I'm definitely looking forward to the next 14 weeks because I'm on the tank for Tua train, and we got to do what we got to do to secure the best and cleanest quarterback prospects since Andrew Luck. I've covered this team for 11 years. This has been a decade of mediocrity, and as the owner said today to our columnist Dave Hyde, you know, sometimes these things aren't going to be easy, and sometimes they're painful, but, you know, they're tearing this team down from the foundation to the foundation, and sacrifices must be made.
I understand that, and I'm a huge Tua Tagovailoa fan, so if it plays out that way and you do get the first pick and you take the quarterback from Alabama, yes, you'll be taking a massive step in the right direction. However, you got to get there, and that's the next 14 weeks. And you're a well-informed member of the media. Not
two,
all
two
fans.
Two blowouts. I mean, they're well on their way. Two blowouts. Just about every good player on the team wants to be traded away. And then the Dolphins are actually having some conversations with teams about their top players. So, you know, the Dolphins have sent a message to every team. If you even think you want to get into this tank conversation, you got a long way to go because we've already been working on it since January.
Understood. Let me go there since that's where you took me. I understand tanking is a strategy and there are moves that are tied to it, and certainly trading Laremy Tunsil was a big step in that direction. But Minkah Fitzpatrick, word comes out this week that the Dolphins have given his agent credit to see if there's a team out there he wants to go to and set the parameters for a potential trade. He's a first-year, he's a second-year player. He's got 1 year under his belt. Is it going to take that long that Minkah Fitzpatrick will be too grizzled a veteran by the time the Dolphins come competitive that they can't use a guy as talented as Minkah Fitzpatrick?
I don't think it's about the talent. I think it's about, are you buying into what the organization is doing? And right now, it's very hard for any player, especially somebody with a competitive nature like Minkah Fitzpatrick, who's been part of the Alabama winning machine, to buy into what you're doing. I mean, ultimately, this team is basically sacrificing, you know, wins for the sake of the franchise. But more importantly, Minkah's not buying into the role that they have him playing. I mean, at times he's setting the edge on defense. You know, he's basically a guy, a rover, who's played so many different positions, so many different roles. He played strong safety today. Minkah's not buying into what they're doing and how they're using him. And really, it's about being part of an organization that you believe in just as much as they believe in you.
All right, who is buying into this? Who is a present-day Miami Dolphin player who says, okay, I get it, we're in the tank, we're not really trying to win games. Who's cool with it?
I don't think anybody's cool with it outside of probably the coaching staff, but I think the players, the young players who don't really have many options or alternatives, like the Preston Williams, who's a young undrafted rookie who started the last two games, you know, they have no choice because this is their one opportunity. The Dolphins have got them locked up. Players who've been claimed off waivers or players that they've traded for, those are the players who are buying in because the organization's buying into them. Doesn't necessarily mean that they're good players or that they belong in the NFL or that they're starters, but this team, you know, is fully committed towards what they're doing, and sometimes that involves playing younger players for the hope that there's more upside there.
Understood. The coaching staff has been given their marching orders by the front office that they know exactly what is expected and what's supposed to happen with this team? Is that you mentioned the coaching staff probably the only ones who get it, but they really get it. They signed off on it, and are they implementing exactly what the powers that be want?
I don't think it goes as far as the coaching staff. This is more of a management thing, but the coaches aren't given the weaponry that they need to win. I mean, the Dolphins have absolutely no pass rush. Exactly how do you play defense without any pass rush? You know, it's things like that. The offensive line, literally, they practiced the one that started today against the Patriots. They've had three practices together just as a unit. So it's little things like that really don't exactly put you in the best position to be successful. But these coaches claim that they're trying to win. They claim that they're trying to create a game plan that puts them in position to win games. And truthfully speaking, they dropped a lot of passes today. So it's not the coaches that are out there dropping passes. It's the players. So it's everything. But is this organization putting their best foot forward on a given Sunday? No. And I don't think anybody in the organization would say that.
All right. Ryan Fitzpatrick had a couple of those passes dropped today, but he also threw some picks and didn't play well. Fitzmagic was anything but. He's a grizzled veteran. He's been around the league before. He knows what his role in the National Football League is, but this is an even different role that he's ever been asked to perform before. He's the quarterback of the team, and he's their starting quarterback. Does he get it? Is he okay with it? Is he going to ask the same thing that Minka Fitzpatrick got? Permission to see if he can get a trade done just to be a backup somewhere else rather than a starter on an 0-16 team?
No, I think he falls into the category. There's only one team in the NFL that wanted him and to give him an open opportunity to compete for a starting spot, and that was the Miami Dolphins. So he jumped at that opportunity. He's still there. He earned a starting role. I don't know how much longer he'll have it. He certainly won't have it much longer if he doesn't win any games. But, yeah, he's played poorly the first two games, and I think he needs to really pick it up. The problem is that Josh Rosen has come in, played the fourth quarter as the backup, and he's played equally, if not worse. So, you know, it's not like you've got many options there. It's just a total disaster.
Understood. And you're right. Rosen actually led him down the field, could have avoided the shutout, and sure enough, he gets picked inside the 10-yard line, too. You said tank for Tua is what the Dolphins are doing, and I agree with that. How has Rosen handled this? Because he's a guy who I'm sure still believes he can be a quarterback in this league.
Yeah.
Evidence to the contrary, a year and change in so far. But how has he handled where the Dolphins are at?
I think he's just trying to compete. He's trying to learn the offense and be able to execute it a little bit better. Josh Rosen's issues are, you know, he doesn't read the defense as well as he possibly should, and he makes a lot of late throws, and those late throws have led to some interceptions and some turnovers. And I think, you know, he knows his opportunity will come. It's just a matter of what he does when that opportunity does finally arrive. And I think he's trying to do his best to get himself prepared to win.
A lot of times when you see lopsided scores, not in the National Football League, in college football and high school football, people question, well, why would they run the score up? Nobody does that in the National Football League because everybody's getting paid. They're all professionals, and you got to be able to deal with that. Do you think both the Patriots and the Ravens look to run up the score these past 2 weeks?
No, I just think the Dolphins are that bad. If you watch the game, really, the score only got run up by the Patriots because they had two pick-six interceptions. So it wasn't like they – well, they did. Tom Brady did throw late in the fourth quarter, but it wasn't really a run-up-the-score situation. It was just that the Dolphins are really that bad.
How did Antonio Brown look today since you were down there watching the game?
Good. Fast, athletic. I really was surprised at how much they targeted him. He had, I believe, 8 targets, 5 receptions, a score, a touchdown. He looked like the Antonio Brown we all know and love. And certainly the way that Tom Brady puts passes right on you, I think he's going to have a good season because, you know, Tom Brady's still Tom Brady.
Right, but to have a good season, he's got to be able to play, and you've been following the National Football League. They're going to meet with his accuser this week. The ability to put someone on the commissioner's list does not take a lot. Roger Goodell just has to believe that a player may have done something wrong that flies in the face of the collective bargaining agreement. I think there's a good chance Antonio Brown is suspended before the week is out. How about yourself?
I think that they, including the NFL, should let the legal process play itself out before rushing to judgment. But, you know, you never know what evidence she'll present or what evidence Antonio Brown will present. It's sad that this saga is going to continue to go on. But, you know, definitely we should let the legal process play itself out.
Understood. Now that lends itself to a very good follow-up question. The legal process... The woman didn't bring legal charges against him. She did not take this to the authorities, to the police, that she decided to just go through the courts to abstract her revenge and or to get her price, her pound of flesh, whatever you want to call it. That could take years.
Yeah.
So
not
they're
a
really.
Conversation that I want to participate in.
Okay.
Unfortunately, not. Not a conversation that I want to participate in. I just want to see the legal process play itself out.
So you would say Antonio Brown shouldn't be suspended because there is no legal procession?
I don't. Let the NFL do what they do. They've suspended people for less. I think Antonio will be fine. Even if you're under the suspension list, you'll get your salary.
Yes.
I think the Patriots can win with him. They can win without him. Patriots are a machine that cannot be stopped, and Antonio Brown isn't stopping that machine.
Well, I agree with you there. They could win with him or they could win without him. I don't think it makes much of a difference.
I really don't think he makes a single difference to them, whether they make the playoffs or whether they win the Super Bowl. He's an amazing, amazing player, but the Patriots are still going to the Super Bowl without him.
I agree with that. Last thing. How did the fans react in the fourth quarter today? How did they react to the last six home games, the last seven home games that the Dolphins have? Did they just stay away in droves? Will the phone lines be blaring down there on Sports Talk Radio in Miami going, this is unacceptable, why are we paying for this? How's it going to play with the fan base?
I think most of the people in the media know what this is about. They think it's worth it. Most of the fan base know what this is about. They think it's worth it. Certainly nobody expected it to be this ugly, but short-term pain for long-term pleasure is the way that I look at it. And as long as Tua doesn't say that, hey, I'll play for any organization but the Miami Dolphins, you're in a good spot. And considering that they're making this sacrifice and building a team around him, the taxes, the marketing, the major market, I don't see any reason why he should say, hey, I don't want to be part of your organization unless Minkah Fitzpatrick gets in his ear and really turns him off to the organization. But this is a complicated situation, but I think locally everybody understands. There are even Tank for Tua shirts out here, so... You know, the Tank for Tua people are the fan base, I would say, is 70% tanking for Tua.
I don't have the Alabama schedule in front of me, but do they play Florida in Gainesville this year?
I have absolutely no idea.
I'm just trying to figure out your itinerary because if they're going to ask you to go get a quote from Tua at some point, they probably try and keep you in state.
Yeah, man, I wouldn't mind going to Alabama and sort of fishing around for Tua. I make sure I watch every college game because he certainly looks amazing.
Omar, great stuff. Appreciate you coming on, being a good sport about this. Thank you much. Enjoy your season. It's not going to be entertaining, but it could be very intriguing. So have a good time.
Listen, the amount of entertainment, I mean, every day there's somebody else requesting a trade or on the trading block. So it, the one thing I could say about the Dolphins is they're never boring, unfortunately. I wish they were, but they are never boring.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.